Episode 1216, My Strength is My Story with Marie Armenia, the audacious Molly Bruno.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo.
Staring at a stop sign, watching people drive by.
Happy, happy day. Today is my favorite day of the week. It is My Strength is My Story series, and we have with us an incredible woman. She is extraordinary. Her name is Marie Armenia. Have you ever heard of the movie War Room? Oh, you want to stay tuned. For those of you who are brand new to Create Your Now, friends and family of Marie's, welcome to our family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already haven't had the opportunity, you'll want to head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and to sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple Strategy Everyday Solutions to Live, Love, and Impact. Well, a quick word from our sponsor, Health, Hope, and Inspiration with Reverend Percy McCray. As of today, over 100,000 people have discovered Health, Hope, and Inspiration, the weekly podcast specifically designed for people of faith who are living with cancer. If you or someone you love has received a cancer diagnosis, Health, Hope, and Inspiration will help you find strength, answer your questions about cancer prevention, treatment, and overall healthy living. Every program is filled with information and interviews that will encourage your heart, educate your mind, strengthen your body, and build your faith. And ultimately, give you hope. You'll want to visit healthhopeandinspiration.com and subscribe to the free Health, Hope, and Inspiration podcast today. Well, there is one woman who has given hope to many, and that is the audacious Molly Bruno. And we have with us to share her story, her daughter, Marie Armenia. We talk about everything. And this book, I share a lot of stories with you all, but this one really is one of those kickers. And if you want something that is going to inspire you on a daily basis, I encourage you right now, stop this recording, go order it, and then come back and listen, because I promise you will be blessed. We talk about meatballs, pranksters, prayer, and miracles. You name it, it's on the menu. Are you ready for your recipe of life? Without further ado, let's welcome in Marie Armenia, the audacious Molly Bruno. Hello and welcome to Create Your Now. I am so excited. Today is my favorite day. It is My Strength is My Story series. And we have with us an incredible, extraordinary woman. Her name is Marie Armenia. Marie is a wife of 48 years to her husband, Philip, and mother to their son, Philip Jr., who is married to her daughter-in-law, Renee. And she's meemaw to three adorable, precious grandchildren. I'm sure they're already driving her crazy. Marie travels the country as a singer-songwriter, keynote speaker. She's a pastor's wife and the former producer, writer, and on-air host of The Marie Show, a television broadcast for women. Marie wrote the curriculum for the Spring 2012 Explore the Bible series and has written hundreds of magazine articles and various columns for Lifeway. Currently, she writes a monthly humor column for Mature Living magazine, We Gotta Laugh as We Get Older, along with other faith-based publications. However, Marie's most recent authorship is her brand new book, The Audacious Molly Bruno, Amazing Stories from the Life of a Powerful Woman of Prayer. I'm elated for you to hear all these stories and the depth of this woman's life journey. Marie, welcome, my friend and sister in Christ. How are you?
I'm great. I'm so happy to be here.
That's right. Hello to everybody around the world. You have just woken up the world with this book. At least you have. I have read it. It's opened my eyes to a few things, and I cannot wait for people to get their hands on it. It is just a really simple book, but has so much power within it.
Oh, praise God.
Amen. Amen. Well, before we jump into your book and your story a little bit more, and whoever this audacious Molly Bruno is, because I know they're already saying, well, Christiane, you said it was Molly Bruno, and that doesn't match Marie Armenia. No, it does not. So we'll get into that. But first, what brings joy to your heart?
Oh, man, that's a great question. I would have to say, I mean, I don't want to be schmaltzy, but I would say the Lord. You know, ultimately, like getting up in the morning, reading his word, spending time with him, leading someone to know him. I mean, is there anything anyone on earth can accomplish that's more amazing than changing someone's forever? Just because you opened your mouth and said, Jesus loves you. And so many people, you know, we think that people know that, but they know about religion, but they don't know he loves them. They don't know he's saying, you know, to exhausted women, come unto me and I will give you rest. So, you know, not trying to be like Mother Teresa here, but really that is the, really nothing else matters, but the Lord knowing him and making others know him. So that would be my answer. Oh. Then my kids. Then my grandchildren.
Can't forget the three adorable ones. I'm sure they're precious.
Grandchildren.
Oh, well, I'm sure you're loving on them all the time. Well, what, besides your grandchildren, what keeps you busy?
Well, the writing and the speaking. And, you know, I started out with my husband, Phil. He's a singer-songwriter. So many years ago when our son was a little baby, he traveled and sang. He's a worship leader. He was a pastor. And so just that. And now with the book coming out, and then my mom was associated with the movie War Room. And they put a little clip of her on the DVD. So I get emails and requests to speak now from all over the world. So that's pretty much taken up our time.
Wow. Well, you just led us right into who is this audacious Molly Bruno and your connection to her?
Yes. Well, she's my mom. My maiden name was Bruno, Marie Bruno. And, you know, as I was growing up, I didn't realize how amazing she was. I just, you know, she was a woman of prayer. So was my dad. You know, they were just amazing, honest to goodness, real followers of Jesus. My dad was also a pastor. And so I just saw these amazing answers to prayer. And I just, Jesus lived in our home. He was real. And so as I grew up, traveled with my husband, I started to be invited to speak at a lot of women's conferences. And it was there that I started to understand that most women, many women, even churched women, did not have this like rock of a solid, godly mom. And I started to read the Word, and the Lord kept bringing me to that portion of Scripture where it tells the older women to care for and teach the younger women. And I was like, Lord, why do you keep, everywhere I turned, every Bible I used, he was bringing me to that portion in Titus. And it was like, finally, one day, it was like, duh, I'm the older woman now.
You're not old.
Well, you know, and so heavily did he put that on me that I thought, well, I'm going to write this book and share what my mother taught me about how to be a wife, a mother, a follower of Christ, how to pray, how to witness. So I started to write the book. And then what happened is one of my editors that I had worked with at Lifeway, Brenda Harris, went to work for the Kendrick Brothers as they were beginning to work on the movie War Room. I don't know how many have seen that movie. But as they were developing the character of Miss Clara, she said to them, you know, my friend Marie's mom, Molly, reminds me of her. So we set up a Skype session, and she met the Kendricks. She didn't know who they were. But she said to me that day, those boys love the Lord, and I'm going to pray for that movie. So she prayed so much. I mean, sometimes specific answers, the Lord would tell her to pray for specific things that she had no way of knowing. And so then they came to her house and they filmed an interview with her. Stephen filmed an interview with her, and they put a portion of that interview on every War Room DVD that's been sold. And they've sold, I believe, over 2 million. So she's all over the world now. People want, you know, they look for her. They don't know she passed away in June of 2015. But they look for her, and then they find me. And so then the Lord just opened the door now for this book, for Faith Words to just take this book about her, because I think it will minister to women. You know, it's just her advice. It's not the Bible. It's her advice. And so it's just amazing what the Lord is doing with her life. I wish she could see it. Maybe she does. I don't know.
Oh, we know she does, Marie. You know she's watching Dan, and she's still praying for everyone who picks up this book.
Yes.
Yeah, I've got to leave a teaser because you guys are going to want to pick up your own copy. Of course, we will have all the information in the show notes for you, but it is The Audacious Molly Bruno, Amazing Stories from the Life of a Powerful Woman of Prayer. What's really cool about this book, and I'm not going to read it, because number one, I'll need like a whole box of tissues, but in the very, very, very back, because your mom knew you were writing this book, she wrote her chapter, and I got to tell you, oh my gosh, it cut me to the core. And I wept with tears of joy. I wept with tears of conviction. I wept with tears of, I'm on a mission. I am marked. I'm going to be a Molly Bruno.
Oh, wonderful.
In your life, Marie, growing up, you said you really didn't know how great of a mom you had. Speak a little to that.
Well, you know, when I grew up, my parents devoted themselves to prayer and devoted themselves to God's people. But my mother, I tell women, as she prayed, she was devoted to prayer. She prayed all day long. She would go in their bedroom, shut herself away, and pray. I would go to sleep to the sound of my dad praying, and I would wake up to the sound of my dad praying. And I thought everybody's parents were like that. I mean, you don't know. And every situation that came up in our home became a matter of prayer. And I saw amazing and incredible and outstanding, audacious answers to prayer that I just thought everybody did. I just thought that's how people were. And so I didn't realize that as I grew older. And so many things about her. Her prayer changed her. When I speak, I tell the women, because of War Room, people will come to me and they want to know, well, what would, because the Kendricks refer to her as a modern day Miss Clara. And so people want to know, well, tell me about this woman's War Room. And I just say, you know, she prayed all day, every day. She was always talking to the Lord. But the thing about my mother that is important for me to have noted, and I say to women, her prayers changed her. She became a woman of love. She wasn't just going and praying with a list of things she wanted. Her attitude was, the Lord loves me. He knows what I need. And so she, on the DVD, she says, I just go and I just worship him. Jesus, I love you. And, you know, she said in the morning, she felt like Jesus was there saying, Molly, where are you? So it was a relationship with her. And so what I tell women when I speak now, I say, if your prayers aren't changing you, change your prayers. Because, you know, she was, so that's what I didn't know. Everyone wasn't like that. I mean, my mom, people would come to our house and, you know, she would be preparing dinner and someone would walk in and she would just like take our dinner and give it to them. You know, no, no, don't worry. I have enough. And the people would leave with our dinner and then we would just eat what was ever there, you know? And so people called all the time for prayer. I mean, there's just miraculous, unbelievable things. So I could never doubt that Jesus was real because he was living in our house. It's like he was in our house. You know, I just couldn't see him. He was very real to her.
You talk about this connection, this prayer, and I think people forget that God wants to be a part of our every day, in our every moment. And I think people have this idea that prayer is only for special occasions. That it's only to be given when we're in need of something or in want of something or when we are desperately drowning in the chaos of life and we can't pull ourselves out of the quicksand. Where did prayer really begin to fit and come alive for you?
For me, was when I, you know, when I became an adult and, you know, I had given my life to Christ when I was a little girl, but I remember my husband was stationed out of the country for his stint in the Navy. So we were, the two of us were newly married and away from home. And I just wanted more of God. I wanted more of him than just going to church and doing Bible studies and cleaning the church and working in the nursery. I saw something real in my parents. And I remember I prayed to the Lord, and the only way I could verbalize it was to say, I want to love you the way my parents love you. I saw them loving an unseen God. They loved him like they loved their family. One of my mother's favorite verses is Hebrews 11:6, and it says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For they that worship him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And we all want to please the Lord, but it says without faith, we cannot. And I think a lot of times when it comes to prayer, we get confused. We think we have to work up some kind of hyper fake faith. But the next phrase says, you must believe. That was the key to my mother. She was very childlike in her faith her whole life. And Jesus said to us, unless you change and become as a little child, you will in no way enter the kingdom of heaven. So there was a simple childlike. She believed. So what does the verse say? Must believe that he is. She believed God existed. She believed he is who he says he is, because he is. He is our healer, our provider. He loves us. It's all true. And we have to choose whether we believe that or not. That's a lot of our hang up in prayer. We go to a God that we're not really sure is who he says he is, but no one who puts their faith in him is ever disappointed. So he's a rewarder, the end of that verse says, of those who diligently seek him. And so what does he reward us with? Well, what are we seeking? We're seeking him. So that was the key to her prayer. She wanted a relationship with God. She wanted to know him. She wanted to know what he needed to do in her life. She wanted his will. So that was the difference with her. He was her friend. And so it would be sort of like if you needed a ride home and me calling my friend and saying, hey, she needs a ride. Like, no big deal. You're my friend. Here's my friend. That's how she prayed for people. You know, this was her friend. God, you're my friend. This is my friend. Will you help them? And he did. It was a relationship like I've never seen.
What a testimony, though, for you. Showing you, like, really truly bringing the Bible to life.
Yes. Yes.
And there were incredible miracles.
Oh, which one do you want me to start? How much time do you have?
Oh, we got all day.
Yes.
So tell us one of the stories. Let's see. Okay, let's start with, was it Roberta who, with the baby?
Yes. Yes. So she, she could not have children. She got married later in life and, you know, couldn't conceive. And I mean, just had tried everything. And so she called me one day and said, would you ask your mom to pray? Because that was my mom's reputation. That's people, I was sort of like the, I was like her PR person, you know, they would call me. And so I said, Mom, will you pray? I absolutely will. And so, like, I think within the next month, Roberta was expecting. She had a beautiful little daughter. And just a few months later, I think like 2 months after the baby was born, she was expecting again. She called me to tell me that good news. And right before she hung up the phone, she said, by the way, could you ask your mom to stop praying right now? Yeah. So there's, I can't, you know, count the number of people who are living on the planet because mom prayed for their moms to be able to have a child.
Wow.
Yeah.
God is good.
Amen.
God is
well,
good.
Well, I mean, do you want some more? Or?
Yeah, let's go for some more.
Well, there's the classic one. I mean, the one I remember, I was the youngest, was she had a terrible pain. She went to the doctor, and she had kidney stones. And he came in and he showed her the x-ray. Mrs. Bruno, do you see? She said, yes. He said, oh, you're in terrible shape. You need to go straight to the hospital. And he left to make the arrangements. because this was many years ago. They didn't like email the x-rays. So as she was sitting there, there's a verse in Psalms where it says that the Lord bottles our tears. And so she tells a story that she was just sitting there and she said, Father, I can't cry out to you like I would want to right now, but I really want you to heal me. You can heal me. And so she said, will you take some of those tears that I shed because I loved you and I was worshiping you? I think she thought there was a like an actual bottle in heaven that said Molly's tears. Could you just apply them to this situation? Well, so the doctor comes back in and he said, okay, let's take another x-ray. They took the second x-ray and he came back in baffled because the first x-ray, she had kidney stones. The second one, they were completely gone. She got up, went home, never had a problem again. Yeah.
Oh, and they even did, didn't the doctor even do a second set after the they came back with the second reading of the x-ray saying that it, there are none, and they did like a second follow-up to make sure that second one was really...
They did three x-rays off again. Yeah. It's just these amazing, amazing stories. Just amazing stories. Just...
I love the fun ones where the pranksters, because people, you know, they're older now. We just get marketers that call us on our cell phones, but I had a phone line, you know, had to wait, call, and, you know, you'd have those 10 cents a weekend per minute type of calls, you know. But this is way before caller ID. This is way before, you know, we knew really who was on the other side. And she would have pranksters that would call at Odark 100.
Yes, yes.
And what did she tell them?
Well, you have to understand her most important prayer every day. Every day when she would get up, she would write down a verse of the day. She had little index cards. And that was her verse for everyone that called. And then she would pray this prayer. I heard her pray this prayer every morning. Lord, she would just look up to him. Lord, send someone my way today that I can tell about you. So she believed in her childlike faith that everyone she came in contact with, therefore, was God's assignment for her. So if somebody was on the phone, and so her thing was, it's not by chance you called here, or it's not by chance, you know, we ran into each other. So when someone would call with these like obscene calls, she would say, I would hear her, son. You don't mean that, son. Do you know that Jesus loves you, son? And they would hang up immediately. But there was one night a woman called. It was like 3 a.m. And she was trying to call a local bar where her husband was. And she was calling the bar to tell her husband that she could no longer take their marriage. And it had become so desperate. She was going to end her life before he got home and happened to call my mom's house. My mom was on the phone with her for an hour or two and led the woman to life in Christ. And she came to our church then and just, you know, so to her, everyone she met was her assignment from God. I have thousands of stories like that. So,
wow. It just, I mean, it gives you goosebumps. If you can't be excited about this, something, check your heart. I'm just telling you, you want to pick up your own copy of The Audacious Molly Bruno, Amazing Stories from the Life of a Powerful Woman of Prayer. Growing up as her daughter, you probably didn't think much about, you know, she was your mom.
Right.
And she's mom to you.
Right.
Obviously, you got older, you gained wisdom. And with that wisdom came... Well, wait, people, you know, they're coming to her. At what point in time, if any point in time, did you feel like you were kind of the second, like the third wing, you know, like, hey, they all want my mom, but what about me? I mean, I'm your friend. Why don't you ask me to pray?
Well, you know, that's something that I've really had to talk to the Lord about since my mother's passing, because now that she's gone, you know, and I go around to talk, you know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So the whole time I was writing the book, my mother was so adamant, Marie, don't point to me. Be sure the people looked Jesus. And So I have asked the Lord myself, Lord, I don't only want to talk about a woman who prayed. I want to be a woman who prays. And so I'm thrilled for people to hear about my mom. She always used to say to us, she was so feisty. She was hilarious. And she would say, I wish, you know, in her New York accent, I wish they would just put a microphone in front of my mouth so I could tell the whole world. And here, you know, she doesn't know, Mom, you are. So, I mean, she would say to me, you know, oh, my mantle is on you now. God is. But I don't, as long as Jesus is focused on, if they focus on Jesus because of my mom's prayers, or if God allows me to become a woman of prayer like her, as long as the focus is on Christ. The thing about prayer, though, is that in order to have answers to prayer, we have to have needs. And it's difficult in life to understand that before we know God can be trusted, there has to come a situation where we need to trust him. And that's, I think, where a lot of us get messed up, because the second life is imperfect, or the moment he doesn't answer us instantly. See, my mom had such a reverence for God that she just waited for his answer. She asked in the book, one of her lessons is, you know, ask God for whatever you want, as long as you're happy with whatever he sends. And so I want to be a woman like my mother, but more importantly, I want to be a woman who's like Jesus. I want people to see Jesus in me. I want them to see his power. Because the only thing about my mother that is causing all this attention is she was filled with the Spirit of God. And she loved the Lord with all her heart, with all her soul, with all her mind. I mean, that's the thing. Her example is something that's blowing people's minds. Which, if you think about it, is how we really should all be. I say, you know, Molly Bruno was real, and these are real stories, and these are true, but she's not here anymore. So, you know, I don't know if we'll get to the story about the grocery store. Were you planning to ask me about that one?
Oh, you can share it now.
Well, you know, because of her prayer, Lord, send someone my way that I can tell about you. One day I took her to our local grocery store. We shopped at different stores. And so I don't know why we were together that day. And I walked into the grocery store that I don't normally go to. And when we walked in, all the people, like all the person in the customer service department and the people in the checkout lines, they left everything and ran to her and hugged her. Molly, Molly. I thought, what is this, like a hidden camera TV show? Well, one by one, they told me that my mom had told them about Jesus just in the checkout line. You know, what church you go to, she would say, or do you know Jesus loves you? And one by one, they would say, no, I don't. And she would witness to them, and they would accept the Lord. And one woman took out a little pink leather Bible my mom had bought her. And I was just, you know, this was so my mom. And I thought, you know, when I walk into my grocery store, nobody says hello to me. I haven't led anyone to the Lord. Well, so right after that, we walk over to the bakery department. There was a guy there named Henry. And Henry was another disciple of Molly. You know, he said, I never heard that about the gospel. And you have to understand, I mean, I live in Tennessee. We live in the buckle of the Bible Belt. There's 30 or 40 churches within 2 miles of where this grocery store is. And my mom just led him to the Lord, and tears were down his face. And he was just saying, I never knew. And he also had a Bible that she had bought him. So then I decided to go shopping on my own. And 10 minutes later, my mom comes running down, you know, she was in her like late 80s then. Marie, hurry up. You have to come over and witness to the produce manager. So I'm chasing her through the store, because you don't say no to Molly Bruno, especially. And so I'm like, Mom, why don't you witness to the produce manager? No, I'm leading a lady to the Lord in over the cold cuts. And so I go to the produce. I'm waiting for the produce manager, and I look, and there's a well-dressed 50-something-year-old woman, you know, tears bouncing off the plexiglass on top of the salami. My mom is witnessing to her, and this was life with my mom, witness to everyone she met, because she was changed. Nothing mattered to her but leading someone to the Lord. And if you have time, then we'll tell the bridge story. Do you have time for that?
Oh, we have plenty of time.
I don't know. I don't know if you, how many New York Italian women have you interviewed on this show? A lot of words in me. Okay, so we grew up on Staten Island. It's New York City, and it's an island. It's the Staten Island Ferry. And so you, in order to get anywhere, not, you know, anywhere else in the city, you either have to take a ferry or a bridge. And so one day my parents were going over a bridge from Staten Island to New Jersey, and a few cars ahead of them, a car slammed to its brakes. The man jumped out and jumped off the bridge in an attempt to kill himself. Yes. And, you know, it was amazing. All the cars stopped. And everybody ran to the side of the bridge, including my parents. And my mom's looking over the side, and the man, unbelievably, did not die in his fall. And my mother saw him struggling in the water. He got over to the pile. He was holding on. And she thought, I have to witness to this man. He might be entering eternity. He needs to know about the Lord. Well, Mom, he's under a bridge. He's 176 feet or something below you. So she cups her hands together and leans over the side of the bridge and says, Jesus loves you. So now we're talking about hundreds of New Yorkers looked at my mom like she was a little bit less balanced than the man who had just jumped off the bridge. The surprising thing is that from the water came a voice. I need Jesus. Will he help me? Yes! Call. And so this went on until the man actually accepted Christ in the water moments after he had tried to end his life. And he had done some terrible things, and he had to go to prison. My mom sent the prison ministry there, gave him a Bible, followed up, and, you know, he was leading others to the Lord as he was in prison, because no one in Molly's world and in God's world is ever too far gone. You have never done anything. You have never disappointed or betrayed or done anything that is beyond God's love and mercy. That's what I saw. She was amazing.
Okay, I don't know if y'all are hooked yet, but you're going to want to pick up your own copy of The Audacious Molly Bruno, Amazing Stories from the Life of a Powerful Woman of Prayer, the modern day Miss Clara as we know her. You know, it's pretty incredible, Marie, how your mom just, I mean, she comes to life in your book. And I got to tell you that I felt like I was walking with her. And there were times when you were yelling and telling that story. Of course, I knew how it ended because I read the book, so I couldn't give anything away. But I was, when she was yelling, I was like yelling too. I got a big mouth. I'm not Italian necessarily, and I'm not from New York. I've got a really big mouth, ask my children. And I was yelling like, Jesus, Lush. I was like rooting right on. I'm like, oh, come on. And I just wanted to get to the next sentence where I'm like, surely he's gonna say, mm-hmm. yes, I need him and accept Jesus. And ultimately he did. You know, my thing is with this whole relationship with Christ, I think people are afraid to get real. Mm. We treat God as like this tangible thing we want to hold. And I say thing, not person or loved one, but we just want to hold and kind of like rub them, you know, like the genie bottle, rub them when we need them, and then just kind of put them up on the shelf later. And we don't realize that he sent his only son to be intimate with us here on earth so he can have that true relationship. And that's what I love about you and your mom and your life's journey, because it's like she was bringing the Bible to life. And I mean, come on, was she like, you know, an ordained minister or something?
No, I mean, my dad was, but she was just full of the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus said that you will receive power to be my witnesses. And sometimes I think we forget that he's the story. We're just reporters. Any gift, any talent, any open door, we are just to tell his story of who he is. And the sad thing is that I think a lot of people just go to church. You know they want God. So they go to a church and they hear a sermon and maybe they walk down and they say a prayer, but they don't take the time to seek him. This morning I read Proverbs, I think it's 18:3. God says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. And so it gets down to, do we believe that? Because that's the choice. Do we believe what his word says? And what he says is if you love him, he loves you. Well, you know, he loves everyone. He sent his son. But there's a love relationship that he's looking for. I mean, that tells me, that verse tells me that, you know, we were made in his image. So he wants us to choose to love him. He could force us to love him, but then it wouldn't be love. So he gives us that choice. And then he says, if you seek him, you'll find him. So we give up, you know, he doesn't come. You know, I wrote an article, I called it microwaitable. I'm not a microwaitable person. I made that word. Because, you know, I found that the other night I put some vegetables. It was 5 minutes steam vegetables. And I took them out twice. I was so impatient. You know, 100 years ago, I would have had to spend 5 hours picking them. And so I think that we think that, you know, if we don't get an answer right away, he didn't hear, but he says he hears. And I think sometimes we don't understand that maybe he's doing something that we can't see. You know, can I tell you a story? When my son was a little boy, one day he woke up and he just wanted to play with the outlets in our house. And I had not put covers in the outlets. And so I just had to keep slapping his hand as we were getting dressed. And I'd put him in the high chair and then he would scream. And so I was disciplining him to keep him away from the outlets. And it's like the Lord, and I said to him, Philip, you just don't understand. This is love. And it's like the Holy Spirit just said, exactly. You know, there are things sometimes that he keeps from us, or sometimes he waits a long time to answer a prayer because of his timing. We have to trust that he's a good God. He doesn't withhold any good thing. No one who puts their hope in the Lord, the Bible says, will ever be disappointed. So what my mother taught me is to believe that. If the Bible said that if you put all your hope in the Lord, you won't be disappointed, she believed it. And I'm trying to do that too. So did I answer your question?
Oh, you did. And the thing is, I agree totally. I mean, with microwaitable, I love that, by the way. You need to coin that. Yeah. It's great because we are so impatient and we want this immediate gratification with our cell phones and technology. It can all be a blessing, but it can be a huge curse when it comes to hearing God. And I think sometimes we have all this noise, whether it's noise from the busyness of our lives, we have almost to where we're so disconnected. Supposedly Facebook, Instagram stories, Snapchat, all these things, Pinterest, is supposed to bring us together. But most of us have forgotten that we really need relationships, and how do we form them? And if we don't know how to form them, then how can we really get in relationship with God? What would you tell that woman who's listening right now? And it's like, gosh, my hands are tied. I've been trying to talk to God. He's turned his back on me because he's not giving me what I want. And, you know, but I really want this relationship. What would you tell that woman?
Well, first I would tell them, you know, you need to believe he's real. You need to believe. And you know what? We put a lot of weight on the word believe, but it's a choice. You know, like, look, in the garden, Eve believed a lie and destroyed the world. And Mary, another woman, the mother of Jesus, was the most incredible truth that she was told. You're going to conceive and have a child. And she believed it, and through her, she saved the world. And so today I would just say, make the choice to believe it. you can choose to believe, you know, Satan tried to get Eve to believe God was mean. He didn't want her to eat of any of the trees. Who knows how many trees there were? We don't even know how big the Garden of Eden was. There could have been 67,000 trees there, and just one they couldn't eat from. So you have to choose to believe what the Word says and that God is good, and God has good plans. That's the first step. The second step is to understand that, you know, we're the bride of Christ, the church. And I have a son, and the thing about Renee is that she loved my son. And God has a son. And I don't think I would let my son, I would talk my son out of marrying Renee if I knew she didn't love him. So I think if we're not in love with the groom, maybe we're not the bride. It has to be a love relationship. So the first thing you have to do is believe he is, and then allow yourself to wait and listen. So we want, you know, Jesus is to count the cost. So we cannot give God microwaitable time. Okay, I'm giving you 2 minutes and change my life, reveal your will, tell me who you are. No, we have to wait on the Lord. In his presence is fullness of joy. So in order to choose to pray, we have to choose to not do a lot of other stuff. And you have, like he said, those in Proverbs 18:3, you will find me, those who seek me diligently find me. So if you're busy, you know, there's an old thing, if you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. But I don't think prayer has to be something that a young wife and mother needs to feel guilty about if she doesn't have 6 hours to go shut herself off somewhere. You can, you know, you talk to your girlfriends on the phone, don't you, while you're folding laundry and cooking. We can talk to Jesus the same way. You know, Lord, help me. Lord, I praise you. Just, so that's what I would say. I mean, if you're too busy that you have no rest, then you're too busy. So then it becomes a choice of saying, do I want to know the creator of the universe, or do I want to keep up with the Kardashians? You know, just which, you know, some, there's nothing wrong with watching TV or that, but we have to choose. Did I answer your question?
You did. Amen. And, you know, I just got to tell you, you are full of recipes in here. You all are going to want to pick up your own copy of The Audacious Molly Bruno, Amazing Stories from the Life of a Powerful Woman of Prayer. Now, the book is broken down into recipes. I love it. You have 12 chapters. And let me just highlight what they are, because I really feel like we should be cooking here in this segment, like maybe meatballs. Oh, we're not going to talk about the meatballs, though, because they have to pick up their own copy of their book to, there's something special in the back. That's all I'm going to say. But you break it down into recipes, and I love that. It's the recipes for being real, for prayer, for witnessing, reading and understanding the Bible, laughter, being a daughter, being a wife, being a mom, everyday living, the dreams God gives, living forever, and dying my mother taught me. I love these recipes, and the cool thing is if you really want to, you can kind of jump around the book. Honestly, you don't have to read it from the front to the back. And you nicely list all of her life lessons in the back. And I think there's like, is it there 70 life lessons? No, there's more than 70. Let me see. Oh,
let me look.
You lost count already.
Yeah, there's, let me look in my book here. There are actually 81.
Wow. That's incredible. And I've marked mine up, which is really cool because in here in the book, you talk about the index cards that she would write on there. And your mother, it's still very fresh. She passed away June 6th of 2015.
Right.
And I got to tell you, that was a hard chapter for me to read. I mean, I was bawling. I was just like, and my kids were walked in. My youngest walked in. He's like, Mom, you okay? Something in the book? I was like, yeah, hon, something in the book. It's all right. Give me a moment. I'll be fine. But there was something here about those index cards that after your mother's death, it was as if she was still there. Tell the story.
I can actually show you the card.
Oh.
Would you like to see it? I'll have to get up and leave for that.
Yes.
So this is the card. Can you see it?
I can see it.
So this is the one that was on the refrigerator. So what happened is she would, every day, she would get up and she would write a verse on a card. And like I said, she would use it to witness to people, and just, it was encouraging to her. I've done the same thing. Like today, my verse is Proverbs 18:3. I love those who love. And so it was a few, and we would talk. We're not perfect. We would have, like, we were just very opinionated, and we would talk 10, 15 times a day. She lived 4 miles away. They moved to Tennessee in 2001. And so we were just very close. So we moved my dad in to live with us after she passed away. And I think it was 2 or 3 weeks. And I was just beyond sad. I just wanted the Lord to either resurrect her at that moment or resurrect her in 5 minutes. I just wanted mommy. And I got into my car, and on the front seat, because we have bags of these, and on the front seat was just this one, was a card. And it says, it's from Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he, she underlined, he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait is underlined, I say, on the Lord. And like, it was exactly what I needed to hear, because I didn't want to wait. I wanted the hurt to go away that minute. And I came and I said, Phil, did you put this card here on the seat? And no, he didn't. I asked my son, I asked my daughter-in-law, and I thought, oh, wow, Lord. You know, I didn't want to be weird and think, Mom, did you put this card here? But it was there. So the Lord allowed it to, and it encouraged me. And because I knew the Lord, it says, to wait, and he shall strengthen thine heart. So I went out, I came home, and I was putting groceries away. And when I came home, this card, I noticed it, was on the refrigerator. Now, as a grandmother, there's 400 pictures that my grandchildren have drawn. And, but I noticed it. I thought, oh, what is this verse? And it was the same verse. I don't think I put in the book, but then I went to my desk, and the card was on a, the verse was on a third card. So every time I sign the book, this is the verse that I put there, because that's the truth. I mean, I still miss her, and you know, I wish she could see how God is continuing to use her life. It's just unbelievable. I feel like God has decided to turn me into a surfer. And I'm just holding on to, I'm on the wave, and I'm just holding on to the surfboard just to lift up the Lord. He's real. So yeah, that's what happened that day.
Wow, so encouraging. I almost feel like we're in a candy shop. But we're talking about prayers being answered, and being answered in the way that God showed them and wanted them to be answered. Because there were prayers that weren't answered. They were answered in different ways. But God always answers somehow, some way.
Well, she just didn't care if God answered or not. I mean, you know, she just believed he could and asked him for every single possible thing. I think in the book I told a story about a hummingbird. And, you know, we put a hummingbird feeder up and right outside her window. And I was explaining to her that she probably wouldn't see one for at least a few weeks, that they were creatures of habit. And she said, what? Father, will you send a hummingbird here right now so I can see one? And I'm telling you, Christine, and I have witnesses, not even a minute later, right in front of the window, right at the hummingbird feeder, was a hummingbird. And he stayed there. Another one didn't come back for weeks, but there was a hummingbird there. Now, you know, some people might say it was a coincidence. She did not. And I would not have thought to have had the nerve to ask God to send a hummingbird. But she had the faith to believe he cared about that enough, and he sent it. I mean, just story after story after story.
I want you to tell one story, because you're from New York, right? You're a New Yorker, but you've moved since down to the South. But there is one that I kind of, you know, this book takes you through a roller coaster of emotions.
Oh, good.
And this shouting woman was not a shouting woman that you would want to go into. In fact, nowadays, they'd have security all over her because of the situation. But okay. It was at Manya?
Oh, yeah. Mine.
Tell that story.
Okay, so when you're from New York, one of the frustrating people who will move, want to move, or have to move to New York City, from time to time will just say, what do I need to know about living in New York? And, you know, as a New Yorker, I know it's a difficult place to live, but I love New York. I love New Yorkers, but okay, and I love the South. But I say to them, just understand you will wait in long lines for every single thing you do. At the grocery store, to check out, you know, anywhere, to go to the bank, to pay a toll at a bridge. Nothing is fast or simple. And so the story is that one day, my mom was waiting in line at a local bank, and a woman walked in the bank, and there was probably, you know, there could have been 30, 40, I don't know, the line was very long. And the woman walked in and just started screaming obscenities and just this, you know, about the bank, and she couldn't take it, and it was, you know, and people were just ignoring her, because that's what you do in New York. You just ignore people. It's like, okay, whatever. Well, my mom was getting close to the front and called to her, and she said, Miss, you can get in front of me. Now, the woman was very dirty and very unkempt and smelled very bad, and nobody really, but my mom just said, get in front of me. So the woman got in front of her, and this kindness just baffled her. She turned to my mother and she said, why did you let me get in front of you? And my mom said, so I can tell you that Jesus loves you. And the woman said, what? Do you know what I've done? I'm a prostitute. Do you know the things I've done? And my mother said, Jesus loves you. And the woman just kind of ignored her and then said, well, if God is real, tell him to let me find my daughter. And the story, the backstory was, the woman was a drug addict and a prostitute. And when her little girl was two, child services had come and removed the child from her care. And she just lost track of her daughter and her family. So her daughter would have been about 13 at this time. And that's all she wanted. So my mom prayed. And before the woman left, she gave my mom her contact information. So my mom, and the next day, my mom and a few women from the church went to visit her. Her name was Manya. Went to visit her and invited her to come to church. And Mommy said, I have no clothes. So my mom went and bought her clothes that she could wear to church. Well, end of the story, Mommy comes to church, gives her heart to the Lord. And within a very short time, like a week or two later, there's a drug program, a Christian drug program that was available in the Bronx, and Manya went there. And the first day Manya was there, so this is about 3 weeks after she met my mom, she hears a man in a Bible study speaking, and he's saying the name of a man. It's an odd name. I don't know what the name was, but it was, she had an uncle with the same odd name. She went over to the man and asked if it could possibly be her uncle, and it was. And through that, she was reunited with her mother and her daughter. There are 9.5 million people in New York. This is a miracle of epic proportion, that she would have found her daughter. And eventually, Manya became part of a drug ministry and came back to my parents' church and was giving her testimony. And yeah, that's just, you know, that was my mother's life. There's hundreds of Manyas. I just couldn't put them all in the book.
Well, and there's so many more, and we can't talk about all of them. That's why you're going to want to pick up your own copy of The Audacious Molly Bruno. Well, Marie, what was the toughest lesson that you had to learn from Miss Mom Molly?
Oh, the toughest lesson, probably one of the things that she taught me was that life is about submitting to authority. She was no nonsense mom, you know, and she, like I say in the book, the Lord says that children should honor their parents. And I learned that from my parents. You know, you will honor us. They were loving, they were fun, But I'm so happy that she never relented about the fact that she was mom and I was not. You know, I have a story in there which I titled Sometimes Love is a Two-Letter Word. I talk about how she said no. I wanted to date some other guy. And because she said no, that was the night I met my husband. And instead of being at a basketball game with another boy. So I think that that lesson of I'm in charge and you're not. Not in a mean way, but just this is the way it is. I saw that in their marriage. You know, my dad never demanded authority. They never said to me, submit. I just saw them lovingly submitting to one another. And so of all the things I think she taught me, because I'm so strong-willed, I think the reality that, you know, he's God and I'm not is a foundational lesson to learn when we're following God through Jesus. When we want to know the Lord, we have to acknowledge that he's not elected. We did not elect him. This is not a democracy. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And, you know, I heard a pastor say one time, no, Lord, is an oxymoron. You can't say no to someone you're also calling Lord. And so I think that's probably it. I mean, I was very strong-willed and very high-spirited, and she was very firm in establishing her authority and my dad's authority. So that's a good question. I never thought of that before.
Well, it's hard because we, you know, looking back, and we don't want to be disciplined, but Christ disciplines us. He wants us to know right from wrong. What better way than to be shown by our mom and by our dad, and especially by your mom? It's a beautiful testimony. It just continues, and it just warms your heart. If you're not filled with hope and joy, I'm telling you, you got to wake up. I'm shaking you up, because Molly Bruno was more than just Molly Bruno. She lived God's life and practiced it in her everyday. Marie, for you, why did you write this actual book? Because some people would say, come on, you're just writing stories about your mom, who she lived to 92?
Yes.
Yeah, that's incredible. Yes. And not leaving your dad out, he died a little bit after.
5 weeks later.
Okay, wow. That's incredible.
I know.
You know, and they were married like 72 years?
Yes, 72 years.
So this is a really incredible life story to write about. But some people would say, come on, Marie, I know you've got stories like that to tell. Everybody has a story to tell. Why did you pick this and really focus on the audacious Molly Bruno?
Well, I started the book long before. You know, I'm a writer, so I have assignments I have to fill. And so the book was always like kind of on the side. I would write a few chapters. Because I speak at a lot of women's conferences, and I became aware, like we talked about before, I didn't know that that my parents were unusually devoted to the Lord. And I started to, you know, women, my mom loved, she called them her girls, all the women in her church, and just, she just devoted herself to them. And the Lord started to show me, you know, how deeply women are hungering for this wisdom. You may not think they are. I have a statistic in my book that the top 10 searches of women on the internet in their 20s, 30s, and 40s has to do with just basic being a wife and a mom, just cooking recipes, childcare, marriage advice. So, you know, I thought, well, let me share her with other women. So my attitude in the book, and the reason I wrote it, was just to say, look, you know, if you didn't have a mom who taught you how to pray, if you didn't have a mom whose example you saw that Jesus, here's my mom's story, you know, and it was almost finished before she passed away. You know, we would read it together, and she let me keep some wacky stories in there. She was like, sure, go ahead. She, you know, so that's why I wrote it. I wrote it so that younger women would be able to understand some of the wisdom she passed on to me, some of the wisdom my grandmother passed on to her. I just wrote it to help. I had no clue it was going to be picked up by like a major publisher and all this hoopla, or that, you know, she was going to be associated with War Room and on the DVD. It's just like God orchestrated it. You know, I finished it. The movie came out. The DVD came out. The book came out. You know, just, I just feel God wants to use her life as an example. There's no other word. He's opening doors that could never be opened. I have no agent, you know. It's just the Lord. So obviously there's something about her life that he wants people to. I have so many emails. There's like a whole like grocery store evangelism starting from people who hear the story about her in the grocery store. I can't tell you how many, where somebody just like was checking out and somebody was like, oh, what a day. And I have a letter from a woman in Johnson City, Tennessee, and she said, I have never prayed out loud ever anywhere. And after hearing the story of your mom, I prayed out loud for this checkout woman, and she bowed her head and she's coming to church now. And so, I mean, just that alone, I mean, people are coming to the Lord in grocery stores. So, yeah, that's why I wrote it, just because I wanted to share her.
Amen. Molly led by example, and now Marie, you lead by example. And I'm gonna put you on the spot here a little bit, because I'm sure people are wondering, okay, if we've got the modern day Miss Clara, her daughter in the room, I know there's someone listening right now, because God has already prepared a way and he has already orchestrated. It's not by chance that you are hearing this message, that you are just kind of wanting to know more about Molly Bruno and what it is to have a relationship with Jesus and what it is to have a prayer life, a true walk with God. Marie, would you lead us in prayer for those who are listening right now?
Father, I come to you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, you call to these women. Jesus, you said, come unto me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Father, women are exhausted. Women are overwhelmed. The place we live in, this place is a scary place, Father. But you give us your peace. Father, it's not by chance that woman or that man, that someone is watching this right now. Lord, you want them to know that what you are and what you say you are is truth. I just pray now, Lord, that you will just send your Holy Spirit to someone who's listening, to many someones who are looking and listening. Let them have the hope, Lord, that there is hope in you. Let them believe the truth that Jesus loves them. Jesus died. Jesus took your beating. Jesus took your sin. God wants to be your Father. You are not too far gone. You have not done too much. Your marriage is not hopeless. There is hope for your children. In Christ, there is hope. Through him, we can do all things. With man, it seems impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Your marriage, your children, your health, your finances, your home, that fear that's crippling you, that lust you cannot overcome, through Christ you can. Father, I just pray that you will take these words and empower them with your Spirit, Lord, that they may believe that it is truth. We pray this in the authority of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God is good.
Amen.
Oh, a deep breath, because I don't know about you, but living out Molly Bruno's life, it really awakens the heart. And at the same time, it just stimulates the soul. I know people are going to want to find and connect with you, Marie. Right. Where can they go?
Okay, well, they can go to my face, to my home. Let's start with my webpage, just mariearmenia.com. They can order the book there if they want. There's little buttons they can choose. Also on Facebook, they can look me up and follow. It's Author Marie Armenia at Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I mean, I'm all over the place. they can find me.
Well, and of course, we will have all that information in the show notes, because you're going to want to pick up your own copy of The Audacious Molly Bruno, Amazing Stories from the Life of a Powerful Woman of Prayer. And I got to just kind of, you know, I was giving dangling hints because we can't give all the goodies away.
Right.
But there's a really important recipe. And you know how Italians like to eat. I'm just saying, well, oh, it looks awfully yummy. I cannot wait to make it. I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to. So it's scrumptious. And also,
let me know how it turns out.
I will definitely let you know. And then on top of that, if you're a woman who is coming into wisdom, I'm going to say it that way, there's a great story in here about the natural, but God is supernatural. It's all about hot flashes.
Yes.
And that's all I'm going to say, because you got to pick up your own book. Well, Marie, it has been a true honor to get to know you through your book, get to know you in person, and to call you my friend and sister in Christ. The series is called My Strength is My Story. What has your story gifted you?
That God is real. Just he's real. He is who he says he is. Sometimes he allows things so that we can learn that we can trust him. I saw something on Facebook the other day. It was a great phrase. It says, the best way to know you can trust someone is to trust him. And just, I know that God is real. I know that he answers prayer. I know that he loves the women and the men who are watching this right now. It's the truth. So in my own life, you know, because of my mom and the way she taught me, I've got stories too. Someday, you know, maybe we'll write The Audacious Marie Armenia in 25 years. You never know.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I can't wait. And you know what? We'll have to have you back even before the book, because I truly have enjoyed our time together. Thank you so much for sharing from the heart and giving us a little piece of your mom's joy, The Audacious Molly Bruno.
Yes. Thank you, Christine.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life, and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.